नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So, they've asked me to speak on a topic, which is a topic that Srila Prabhupada never lectured on. we can look through our Veda base and we can check out any lectures that Prabhupada gave, but on this topic we will not find any lecture. So in a way, I'm going to tread on slippery ice, I think, by speaking on this topic. And namely, the topic of the rasa dance. Of course, Srila Prabhupada wrote about the rasa dance in the Krishna book. That he did. But he never lectured on it extensively. Of course, the topic has been addressed here and there in some lectures, but not one dedicated lecture going into all the details of this particular chapter of the 10th canto in public. So exactly how I'm going to deal with this topic, I'm not completely sure. It will, in one sense, develop naturally as we continue, but I'm approaching the topic with some reservation. So we begin to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 33, entitled The Rasa Dance, text number 19. Kritva tavantam atmanam yavatir gopajosita reme sa bhagavan stabi atmarama pililaya Kritva tavantam atmanam javatir gopajosita reme sa bhagavan stabi atmarama pililaya Kritva tavantam atmanam javatir gopajosita reme sa bhagavan stabi atmarama pililaya.
Thank you.
kritva, making, tavantam, expanded that many times, admanam, himself, yavati, as many as, gopiyositaha, cowherd women, reme, enjoy it. Saha, he, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Tabi, with them, Atmaramaha, self-satisfied, Api, although, Lilaya, as a pastime. Translation. Expanding himself as many times as there were coward women to associate with, the Supreme Lord, though self-satisfied, playfully enjoyed their company. Purport. As Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out, it has already been explained that Lord Krishna is eternally free from all material desire, perfect, and on the platform of spiritual self-satisfaction. Om Jnanatim Randasya Jnanana Salakya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sigurve Nama Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Dalita Sivisakam Vitamstha He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandha Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Gamsana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatrubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaisnavevyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So I'd like to begin with a metaphor. And this metaphor is the metaphor of a step forward. And it is a comparison of our situation in spiritual life. Namely, as we take a step, we move one leg forward, but all the weight remains on the original leg. And then gradually the leg that goes forward touches the ground, and then slowly we move the top part of our body forward, and slowly our weight shifts onto the second leg until there's practically no weight left on the leg that left behind. So the first leg is the material leg, and it is from being in that position, standing on the material leg, reaching out another leg to the spiritual side, but with no weight on it, that we approach spiritual life. all the weight is on our material leg, and we are practicing Krishna consciousness within a network of protective rules and regulations. Minimum 16 rounds every day, counting to make sure. Four regulative principles, 64 limbs of bhakti, so many intricate different things are done. Then further injunctions, how to worship the deity, how to approach. No one can casually walk onto the altar, even after second initiation, when one can go on the altar. One can only go there in a prescribed way. One cannot just say, well, now I can go on the altar and just, you know, have a look, a close-up look at the deities. No, only for service in a particular way as it is prescribed. So here we are dealing with the fundamental situation in the material world. There are 84 lakh eonia, or 8,400,000 species of life. And Srila Prabhupada explains that, he says that in all these species of life, the living entities are afflicted by lust. Even the germs are afflicted by lust. Also the Germans are afflicted by lust. And they're not the only people, right? Lust is all-pervading in the entire universe. Srila Prabhupada also says that the universe is a backdrop for lusty activities. So, I also have this vision, right, of Bhakta Romeo and Bhakti and Juliet, who are meeting each other with Radha and Krishna in the background. Right? So, looking at all these kind of images, I'm kind of wondering what we're going to do with the Ras Lila. It's certainly amazing, the transformation that took place in our life from where we were to where we are. Now situated in this, in an ashram, now situated within the process, and actually living on a very high level, four regulative principles. I mean, sinless, no longer in Kali's grip. I remember that somehow I received sannyas in the Bhaktivedanta manner, and I had left most of my things in Radhadesh, so I was going back, and I went back by boat. So as I was, it was a beautiful day in May, so I was sitting on the deck of the boat and I looked at the ocean, danda in hand, right? And chanting the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, apur yamana machala pratistam apa samudra apisanti yatvat tadvat kama yat pravisanti sarve shasanti abnomi abnoti nakama kami. Maybe a few letters that I got wrong. Anyway, I was chanting that verse that describes how the rivers of desire are flowing into the ocean, but that the ocean is not affected by these rivers because of its fullness. And yes, that was my meditation then. When I got to the other side in France, the immigration said that my passport was false, and they also confiscated my danda. That was the first test. That was interesting. I got it back, but it was a big fight. It's not so easy. It's not so cheap. It's not so easy to fix ourselves in these vows, to fix ourselves in these spiritual standards, because the fullness, how full is our heart with Krishna? How much is our consciousness filled with hearing, chanting, remembering, and serving Krishna in various ways. How much? I don't know. In the purport to this verse, Apuryamanam Achala Pratistam, Srila Prabhupada is describing that he says that even although the material desires may be there, and they may be there within the heart of the devotee, he does not act upon it, and he has no interest to act upon it due to the fullness in his heart. So here we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing, and this hearing is what fills our consciousness and somehow or other is meant to create that fullness, at least sufficiently full to check us from becoming foolish, which is not such a or acting in an inappropriate way. The lusty desires between men and women are also accommodated for within the process of bhakti. But dharma viruddha bhutesu kamasmi bharatarsaba, within the injunctions of the Vedic literature, that's blessed by Krishna. So in this way it's going on, and we're trying to stay within the network of all these rules and regulations. And Prabhupada says, yes, a man can have one wife, and that's difficult. That's difficult. We see the statistics on divorce in ISKCON are not that good. So it shows how difficult it is for us to stay within the boundaries that are given to us by scripture. And we're hanging in there somehow or other by mercy, by ongoing mercy. So on a day like this, where we're discussing Krishna's transcendental pastimes, we are approaching these pastimes with all our weight on the material leg. It means that our consciousness is still very much absorbed on the material side of things. It means that material life means atmendriya priti vanchitara bolikam krishnendri priti chadare premanam. It means material life means that we are interested in satisfying our own senses. And spiritual life means satisfying the senses of Krishna. So considering that, we will very carefully approach the Ras Leela each time. There is the previous verse. In the previous verse, I've also brought the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, because we have a second problem when we are discussing this part of the Bhagavatam. Oh. We have a second problem, and that problem is that Srila Prabhupada never commented on this part of the Bhagavatam. We have no purports of his divine grace. We have the purports of his disciples who have very sincerely made an effort and who were very scholarly, knowing Sanskrit, who were consulting commentaries of the acharyas, and then try to write purports. But as they were writing, where was the weight? Was the weight of their consciousness on the material leg or the spiritual leg? I'm sure that some of the weight had been transferred onto the spiritual leg. I have no doubt about it. But then again, when the weight goes fully onto the spiritual leg, and when it comes to the point where the material leg is lifted and there's no more weight on it, I think at that time, one must have fully realized his eternal spiritual identity and one must be in Krishna Prem. That's what I would say, the weight is fully on the spiritual leg. And anywhere before that stage, the weight is still part of the weight on the material leg, part of the weight on the spiritual leg. That's the reality. So here we are. Here we are reading about Krishna's transcendental activities. Can we understand? Can we understand a world that is free from lust? Do we have the capacity? Can we understand a world that is free from time? Can we? The spiritual world, not influenced by time. Can we understand it? Can we really understand a world where there's no time? And we see pastimes in the spiritual world, and there's a beginning and an end. It was a night. It was the full moon night. That full moon night in the autumn season. And the time of the night was expanded to be as long as an entire night of Brahma. But still, a beginning and an end. And yet, the pastimes of Krishna are eternal. And yet, the pastimes of Krishna are not limited in any way in time. What can we say? It is quite something. In the previous verse, which is, that's also interesting, and then I'll read Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. So text number 18. Krishna vikriditam viksya mumubhe kechara striya kamandita sasankas cha sagano vismito bhavat. The wives of the demigods, observing Krishna's playful activities from their airplanes, were entranced and became agitated with lust. Indeed, even the moon and its entourage, the stars, became astonished. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the heavenly women became agitated by lusty desires, kamaraditaha, for Krishna. The moon, along with the constellations, became astonished. In one version, the word kamaradita is in the masculine form, modifying the moon, which is male. Thus, the moon, taking up the mood of a woman, was also tormented by lust for Krishna. The demigoddesses, traveling in the sky, ke chara striya, could see the rasa-lila. But Yogamaya covered the vision of the males, watching the rasa dance, so that they could not see the bodies of the Vraja gopis and their intimate pastimes with Krishna. Earlier on, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also mentions the same point. He says they could only see Krishna. They saw Krishna dance in so many amazing ways, and that was in itself absolutely amazing. They were stunned just seeing that. But Lord Brahma was there. So many, all the principal demigods were there, but the males could not actually see the details of the rasa dance. Who can approach the rasa dance? Lakshmi Devi could not enter the rasa dance, although she performed austerities for a long time, and yet she was not granted entrance. Lord Shiva took the form of a gopi and was about to slip into the rasa dance when Krishna saw him, and Krishna said, "Ah, Lord Shiva, I was just looking for you. There are so many intruders who try to enter into this rasa dance, although they're totally not qualified. And I just needed a very powerful personality to guard that no unqualified personalities can enter." And Lord Shiva became the guard. Lord Shiva could not enter. Lord Brahma cannot understand. For 60,000 of his years, Lord Brahma is meditating on the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis, trying to understand this relationship between Krishna and the gopis. So, just to keep these kind of thoughts in mind. So, It is said that when Krishna and the gopis met Krishna, embraced the gopis, and it's said that that caused so much joy that they started singing very loudly. All of them were just singing, and the whole universe was filling with the incredible songs that they were singing. And here we read text number 9. One gopi, joining Lord Mukunda in his singing, sang pure melodious tones that rose harmoniously above his. Krishna was pleased and showed great appreciation for her performance, saying, "Excellent, excellent." Then another gopi repeated the same melody, but in a special metrical pattern, and Krishna praised her also. Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. The swaras, 7 notes of the scale, are born from the srutis. These 7 swaras correspond somewhat to the cries of the peacock, chatak, goat, crane, cuckoo, stork, and elephant. There are 18 jatis, chromatic tones, which arise from these swaras. Jatis are the source of ragas. There are 2 types of jatis, pure and distorted. The pure jatis and the 7 harmonic tones known as Sajja, Risab, Gandharva, Madhyam, Pancham, Daivata, and Nisada. When they are transformed, so this is the famous Saragamapada and so Nisa. When they are transformed, flattened or sharpened, they are known as distorted, prikrita. Though they all sang, Krishna did not sing at the same time, amisrita, as the gopis. Another meaning of amisrita is that the gopis sang with pure jatis, not mixed with any intermediate tones. This was possible because the gopis was singing only these pure harmonic tones due to her supreme expertise. Although she was performing this difficult feat, she vibrated them excellently. Appreciating the skillful singing of this gopi, Krishna honored her by giving his yellow chadar. Authorities conclude that this gopi was Vishakha. Another gopi, expert performing the alap. Alap are the long notes of one song with Dhruva Tala. Krishna honored her with ornaments such as finger rings, jewel-studded necklaces, and his own slippers. This gopi displayed even more excellent than Vishakha and was none other than Lalita Sakhi. Seeing that the gopis were reluctant to bring the ragas and raginis they sung to even greater levels of beauty, Radha herself then sang. From this we can understand that among all the gopis, Radha was endowed with the most excellent and attractive of all qualities. So I just focused on the music. which expresses the pure love that was involved. And we should understand the loving dealings between Krishna and the gopis are very different from the gross nature of the mundane dealings between men and women on a Saturday night in the back of the car, right? That's a different kind of world. Or in India, where in the front things are not happening, but when the curtains are closed, everything is happening and has been happening since long time. It's universal. It's everywhere. Every living being afflicted by lust everywhere. And what is that lust? Go straight, directly, immediately for the gross sexual activities. That's what's on a man's mind. That's what he'll go for. Just like that, immediately, as soon as the chance is there. How can we understand Rasa-lila? It's the expression of pure love. It is the expression of pure ecstatic love, which is mutual, Krishna loves his devotees, the devotees love Krishna. So that singing is an expression which comes from the soul of the great happiness that is being experienced in being able to capture Krishna. We are just yesterday studying in the Nectar of Devotion that pure devotional service, the characteristics of pure devotional service, and pure devotional service in the topmost platform is Sri Krishna Akarsani, can attract Krishna. And this is the amazing thing. Not only were the gopis attracted by Krishna, that is understandable since he's all attractive. So, but not only that, the gopis were attracted by Krishna, but Krishna was attracted by the gopis. And that is most amazing, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Atmaram, fully satisfied within himself, was attracted by the gopis. That is amazing. Was he attracted by their bodily features? Not by the bodily features in itself. Rather, the bodies that they had received were perfect spiritual bodies, which were the perfect expression of the purity of their consciousness. And just the bodily beauty these gopis possessed by far exceeds any beauty that we can imagine. They have this advertisement, and it's an advertisement about beauty cream, and it's about Cindy Crawford. In case you don't know Cindy Crawford, at one point she was a very famous model, and the advertisement said, even Cindy Crawford doesn't look like Cindy Crawford in the morning. And then it showed this beauty cream. It's a good advertisement. I kind of like it. But more beautiful still, are the damsels in the heavenly planets. More beautiful still are the ladies in Vaikuntha. And yet, more beautiful still are the gopis. Their beauty is excelling all others. But this beauty, this external beauty, is none different from their internal beauty. And that is real. It's not Putana, right? You know, Putana comes to town. Oh, there were that day, Nanda Maharaj was paying tax, and there were only old men left and ladies in Vrindavan. But when these old men saw Putana, it was like, they were just like shocked, you know. All they could do is just stare at her beauty. But inside was a horrible witch. But the beauty of the gopis is the pure reflection of their pure love for Krishna. Therefore, it's not the external beauty that captures Krishna. There is no separation anyway between external and internal. That's a material conception. We are here, you know, internally, spirit, soul, externally, a hunk of flesh. Right? Somehow or other, in some awkward combination. Yeah? Yes. But in the spiritual world, the beauty of the body is representing the pure beauty of the soul, the pure beauty of love they had for Krishna. And thus it was that pure love of the gopis that could capture Krishna. And these dance movements, the songs they sang, the way they dressed to kill. They dressed to kill, there is no doubt about it. I mean, when Radharani dresses, she doesn't dress alone. She has many maidservants, and they are working on making it irresistible. I mean, just on the little dot on her forehead, they spend a lot of time. It's not just a dot. No, no, it's a dot with decoration around the edges. It's a whole thing. It's a work of art. That alone, just seeing that is something that is enough to capture the mind. And then when Krishna comes to his senses and sees her veil in this way. But all that which resembles the things we know, standing on the material leg, Chandra Sakanyaya, we can only look to the moon through the branches of a tree. We can only look through the material world to the spiritual world, no matter how much we try. We can only look through the mundane conceptions that we have about men and women interacting to Krishna. And then with philosophy, we try to balance it. No, no, it's not lust, it's love. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, of course, you know. No. Yes, surely. But it looks like lust. No. It's love. Okay. Sure. Yeah. It's about satisfying Krishna's senses, yes. But it looks like the gopis are also enjoying. How difficult to understand that this pastime is purely for Krishna, satisfying Krishna's senses. So in that way, we have approached the Rasa dance, and at the end of the chapter, pull this out, and that's what I will close with. At the end of the chapter, there is a verse. Okay. Vikriditam vrajavadubiridam cha vishnu sradan vito nu shinuyat atavanna yetya bhaktim param bhagavati pratilabhya kamam riturogam asapahinoti achirena dira. Translation: anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavan will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus he will quickly become sober and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. Now, to this particular verse, Srila Prabhupada has commented, because this verse is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the purport is there. I should have brought it, I didn't. And didn't bring my phone, and it's all good, because the time is also limited. So I'll just give some highlight from the purport. I know there's always someone with some electronics, but and wants to give it to me, but it's 8:45. The essence of that purport is where Srila Prabhupada says that although in the verse it is said that one should hear and discuss these pastimes, Srila Prabhupada points out that one should not prematurely discuss these pastimes, Srila Prabhupada said, because one will associate it with one's own mundane experience. My example of the material leg. And then he gives the example of a barber whose wife is named Radha. So whenever he hears the name Radha, he doesn't think of Radharani, he thinks of his own conjugal pastimes. So basically, the point I was making, the tendency is to project from our own experience upon the Ras Leela. And it is for that reason that this topic is approached with the utmost care and reservation, and it is for that reason that Srila Prabhupada was quite strict. In Vrindavan, which is of course the place where so many people are discussing these kind of topics, Srila Prabhupada would restrict his devotees from, for example, in Vrindavan there are Leela performances and Leela pastimes, Ras Leela performances by different actors who dress up in costumes and so on. And Prabhupada said, no, can't go there. In Radha Kund also, there is a lot of discussion on these kind of topics. Prabhupada's like, can't go there. Right? Yeah, in for a short, quick visit in a guided tour or something, but not like, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to stay in Radha Kund for a few days. That was, you could not have said that to Srila Prabhupada, that's for sure. I mean, that was like, so in this way, of course, these things are also there. And in one lecture, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gives this lecture and he says, and today we will discuss the Ras Leela pastimes of Krishna. He says, although you are not qualified, he said, but we will discuss just, and it was at Radha Kund, just to establish that this is not the property of the Sahajas, but that it is actually duly the property of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, in that way, we are also approaching. We are approaching the intimate conjugal exchanges between Krishna and the gopis. Okay. Any questions? Any comments? Please. Oh.
He painted it. In those days, the artist would paint, and every painting was offered to Prabhupada. He would make his comments. One year he did a painting.
Who's the technician?
There was a painting of one painting of Rasa Leela dance that Prabhupada forbid. He got rid of that one too. He was very upset. When I asked my brother-in-law, what was happening? What did you think?
He said he was just married, and so he felt his consciousness was
polluted, and that's his viewpoint of what was happening. So Prabhupada was very meticulous with artists and our viewing any of these types of pastimes and relationships. He didn't want paintings where Radha and Krishna were looking at each other or that kind of thing. So there was very strict guidelines for us in trying to understand, and I guess prohibitions for us even reviewing, looking, viewing those pastimes and intimacy.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, and I try to make the same point, yeah, also. Let Lakshmi Moni first say, and then
just for the sake of balance, the picture of Radha and Krishna on the swing and the nectar of devotion was done by a god sister who's, she had grown children that were with devotees when she became a devotee, and she painted that picture. And Prabhupada liked that picture so much that he told her, this picture guarantees your ticket into the spiritual world.
Right. Yeah, that's it. It's good that there is also a balance and that there is all these sides, and that it's sometimes difficult for us to understand which instruction that Srila Prabhupada gave is like for a particular time, place and circumstances, and which instruction is meant to be carved in stone for the next 10,000 years in the golden age and for all devotees to follow forever. We were in Vrindavan, and the years went by, and devotees became more and more familiar with Vrindavan. They became learned in Sanskrit and Bengali. They began to read many books. They translated many books, and basically, the initial, very sheltered Hare Krishna movement that Srila Prabhupada was beginning to form was associating with the world of Vaishnavas that surrounded it. Partially Gaudiya Math from Srila Prabhupada's God Brothers, then so many other groups of Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Nimbarkas, Babajis, and so many different Vaishnavas all around us in Vrindavan. And Raslila was coming in through the over the wall, through the cracks in the wall, through the main gate. Yeah? You know, it was everywhere. And it wasn't possible. And then somehow or other, through some of our senior leaders, through with a connection with a senior leader in the Gaudiya Math, a lot of these things started to come into our movement, and it changed ISKCON forever. Or I don't know if forever is a big word, but it changed ISKCON in a way to change, to last, in a lasting way. And I witnessed that. I was temple president in Vrindavan as that change was really setting in. And I could document the change, you know, the changes that took place, I saw. And yeah, sometimes I wonder, is it really good for Bhakta Bill, who's cleaning the bathroom, to listen on his earphones to the 25 qualities of Srimati Radharani? Isn't that a little cheap, you know, I was thinking? Shouldn't he just hear something else? On the other hand, if we respectfully approach these pastimes of the 10th canto after having absorbed the philosophy and after having practiced for some time, then that was also given by Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book. And so in this way, I would also like a balanced approach. We are not banning Ras Lila. It's not radioactive, forbidden, and you know, anyone who ever dares to say the word rasa will be crucified, yeah? Without mercilessly, immediately, to protect the purity of the movement. You know, hammer and nails are ready, just that you know. No, there is also some scope and some space for this. But take some time to first thoroughly understand the philosophy, practice the philosophy, and it is a little strange to the day after one's marriage to kind of make a painting of Radha and Krishna. I guess that's why last year also they asked me to speak on this topic, and again now, you know, they think, let's get a sannyasi. Well, the sannyasi says, thanks a lot for giving me this class, because the sannyasi is not involved with lusty affairs. Every living entity is involved with lusty affairs, and the sannyasi is just like everyone else in a network of rules and regulations and cultivation and practice dealing with it. I don't know what would happen to me if I would disconnect from the mercy and disconnect from the practices. Well, I don't know. Maybe straight down. So I feel also not so qualified to say a lot. Sometimes I read these kind of things to understand better, but I don't make it my daily sadhana, right? Better we stick with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And within the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, there are two sides, right? One side is Lord Chaitanya is absorbed in this Rasa-Lila type of activities, and the others, and that's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But the other side, which is the most important for us, is that he's Namo Mahavananyaya. He's the most magnanimous. He gives the mercy to those who are not deserving. Therefore, for the liberated souls who are in Madhurya Ras, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, they can go to Srimati Radharani. Everyone else, to Nityananda. So that's where I'm trying to focus. At the end, I search out the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, because it is by the mercy of Lord Nityananda that I'm somehow or other here on this path. Nittai pada binebai Radha Krishna paitenai. Without the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, Radha and Krishna will not be available. So that's my last word on the matter. And Prabhupada is his representative. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.